Hey guys, can I ask you a question? How are your balls feeling right now? Are they super clean and dry? Does your partner complain or is not always willing to go downtown? If so, I've got something for you. I've just launched a new product called Down Under Comfort for my brand Emily & Tony. It's really unique. It's a cream to tapioca powder formula that is designed to keep men fresh and clean down under or wherever they need. And girls can use it too, under their breasts, their lower back, anywhere they want to stay fresh. So help keep this podcast free and your balls dry. Use code EMILY to get 20% off your first purchase. Check them out today at emilyandtony.com. Trust me, and you're welcome.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all my podcasts, my blogs, my videos, anything you want to know about having better sex and relationships. Just assuming while you're listening to the Sex with Emily podcast, you can find it all on my website. And the easiest thing to do is just to subscribe to the podcast, because I do two a week. You'll never miss a podcast. They'll just end up right there in your inbox and all will be good, because I know you don't want to miss anything that I have to say. And I want to thank everyone for listening, and I love hearing from you, and I appreciate it. I read all your emails that you send to feedback at sexwithemily.com, so keep them coming. And also on Wednesdays between 12:30 and 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, if you're on Twitter, and if you're not, you should be on Twitter, at sexwithemily, hashtag askemily. I will be answering all of your sex and relationship questions between 12:30 and 1. So you can do that. Join me there. It'll be really, really fun. And today's show, I'm really excited about my guest, which I'll get to in a minute. But I have Ernest Green on the show, and he is the director, editor, and author of a new book called Master of O, which is based on the story of O, which is a infamous French novel from 1954. And it's a pretty erotic tale here. We're going to get into it. It's dirty, sexy, hot, and we're going to talk about that. But I'm surprised that Nina Hartley came, who's also his partner. They've been together for 14 years. So, Nina, thank you for joining me. Nina's been on the show several times. And we're going to get, because, you know, one of the top questions I get asked in my show, is how do we spice things up? How do we keep things interesting? How do I get my partner to try this or that? I mean, literally, I think that is probably the top. I get three top questions. That's one of them. And so I think today they're, you know, Ernest has been in the BDSM community for about 40 years. And so, you know, I'm not saying that you got to go all out BDSM, but there's a lot of elements here that you can learn that can help spice up your relationship. And we're going to break it down for you. And we're going to talk about how they've been happy and had a happy relationship together for 14 years where they, you know, both, I mean, who keeps Nina Hartley happy for 14 years? Pretty amazing. And you're pretty amazing yourself too. Not to say that you wouldn't be difficult as well. Not difficult, but you guys have had, you know, your share of sex.
It's challenging.
So I'm excited to talk to you guys both. We're going to get into all that. We also might get to some emails today. And I want to talk to Anderson for a second. Anderson.
What up, baby?
How are you?
I'm good.
I love that you came by my office today.
I did.
That was the highlight of my day.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Must have been a sad day.
It kind of was a sad day because I was in the Valley all day at a meeting.
What's wrong with the Valley? It's where I live. What are you trying to say, bitch?
Well, I knew you were there, I would have had lunch. No, it was just like a really long meeting.
Here's what the listeners need to know about Emily. Okay, so I walk into her office. It's smack dab in the middle of Hollywood, right? And it's like hopping. There's no place to park. All these tourists taking pictures of people are taking a picture of me. People are just taking pictures.
You're so
everywhere.
Hot. They think you're celebrating.
All like those buses that have like the tops cut off. I mean, that the epicenter of Hollywood is where you are. Beautiful view on the 11th floor.
Penthouse.
No, Emily has no idea what's outside the window. None.
No, I just don't have time to look out. I know I have a view
right
of the Hollywood
in front
sign.
Of you. Like the Roosevelt, the pool, you see all the Hollywood sign, downtown LA. I'm like, look at this. She's like, oh, I've never seen that before.
No, I hadn't seen
I've
the pool. I was there for 3 days before my friend came. He's like, you know, you see the Hollywood sign. And that's bad. That's what my mom always says.
You're
pay
focused.
Attention.
You're focused on the dick in front of you, which is good.
You know what, though? I do love my office and I need to appreciate it. It is beautiful office space. So thank you for coming by. And you saw my sex toy. And you're like, oh, I thought there'd be more sex toys sitting
around. I was hoping for
there
like
trophies. Like 10. What'd you want, like 50?
I wanted like the deer heads on the walls of hunters. I wanted like giant black dongs on like
I'm so
trophies.
Sorry. Next time I'll do that for you. But
all right, cool.
I appreciate you stopping by. It was fun to see you. And so also, I guess, well, let's just, one more thing. On July 16th, I will be teaching a workshop at the Hustler Hollywood Star, which is legendary on Sunset Boulevard, How to Blow His Mind with Sex with Emily is what it's called.
You came up with that idea on this show.
I did, didn't I?
Right in front
that
of
idea, but How to Blow His Mind, did I come up with that title?
Yeah, well, not that.
You know what's so funny is because I just came up with it yesterday, but I should listen to my shows. Do most people listen to their, because everyone's like, you should just listen. I'm like, I don't have time to listen to anything else. I did say that, though.
Oh, you should listen and get caught by a listener like who can hear what you're listening to in traffic or something. Embarrassing.
Like, you listening to yourself?
Yeah.
I you know, no time. But, yes, I am teaching a workshop. I'm really excited about it. And everyone should just check out the Hustler Store in Hollywood. It's legendary. Mm-hmm. It's been there for a long time. And so if you're in town, I would love to see you, meet you in person, and make the trip.
When?
It is July 16th, and I will have in the evening. And I will have more details to follow.
And what do you get to see if you show up?
If you show up, you get to learn my tips for blowing him away in bed. There will be some blowjob tips. There will be some toy demonstrations, some kink, how to spice things up in the bedroom. And we'll have some cocktails and some food, and it'll be a great night. And the store is beautiful. It's amazing. It's a huge, it's a legendary. You should, if you come to Hollywood, you're like, oh, I want to see the Hollywood sign. You should also go to the Hollywood store.
It should be on your checklist, yeah.
It should. And if you're listening to this and you do live in LA or you're there, tell them at the checkout that you mention my name, Emily, Sex with Emily, and you get 20% off whatever you buy, I believe. You get some good percentage off. I should know that.
It's 20% confirmed in here.
Okay, I just said 20%, so tell them that's what I said. Okay, so hello,
yes.
Ernest.
Hello.
Green, I am so glad you're here. So, okay, so you've directed over 500 features, kinky
yes,
features.
I have,
starred
mostly.
In a lot of kinky features.
Yep.
And you also, so your book. Your brand new book, Master of O, is based on the erotic novel Story of O, which
yes.
was published in 1954 by French author Paulina Riage, right? Riage?
Pauline Riage.
Riage.
Well, that was one of many pseudonyms.
I thought it was Riage, and then it was someone said Riage because I do speak French. Anyway, right, it wasn't her real name. So basically, you bring Riage's tale of erotic submission to modern-day Los Angeles to look at the other side of the famous stories from the male perspective. It includes detailed depictions of BDSM techniques like bondage, flogging, electrical stimulation, but also explores the remarkable intimacy and trust that comes from being on either side of that equation. And you've been active, like I said, in the BDSM community for 40 years, conducting workshops and seminars, and he's been married to Nina Hartley, sex-positive porn star, pornographic film director, sex educator, feminist author since 2003. That's what I have. It's a long time.
That is a long time.
Congratulations on that.
Although it's just flown by, I got to tell you.
Really? Because you guys are so happy together?
Yeah,
marital bliss?
It really is.
What's the secret?
No kids.
I hear you. To me, I'm with you. I get it.
We were
it.
Past that before we did the marriage
But
thing,
did you so. Ever think that you, did you have yearnings to have children ever?
No. Nope. Never hit me. I kept waiting and never.
Right.
No battery in the
me
biological
neither.
Clock.
Nothing. I kept waiting. I'm like, I don't have it. Like, it didn't happen.
They forgot to wind your clock at the factory.
Right. Exactly. And I'm fine with that, right? We have full lives without it. So,
absolutely.
Okay.
And
so
I looked around at my family when I was young and decided right then and there, that's enough of that.
Same thing. Same with me. I'm like, my family really? Like, marriage, divorce, the whole thing? No, thank you. So, okay. Ernest, I mean, I have so many questions for you. But I want to know first, though, like, your history. Like, when did you first know that you were a kinky soul?
I never didn't know. From the first sexual thoughts that I ever had, they were all around power exchange and power play. They were all around bondage and things associated with it. They were all about that.
Like, at what age?
I would say that by the time I was maybe 12 or 13, I knew this was what was going to be.
But how did you know? Like, had you seen images? Had you been watching? Where?
I just respond. I'll tell you. Listen, by the time I was 10, I'd already tied up every kid in the neighborhood. We had to move 13 times before I was in junior high school. I believe it is. That's a whole other subject. But I do believe that it's somewhat heritable. It's in that sense, if there's a gay gene, there's probably a kinky gene.
There probably is a kinky gene.
Because I have other family members who, you know, without consultation and having grown up nowhere near each other,
right.
When we bump into each other, the subject has a way of coming up. So, yeah, I think that has something to do with it. And I also just found it fascinating, intriguing in some way. It was the thing that pushed the button.
Right. It was the thing that got you going. So how did you find partners that were suitable for you?
Well, fortunately, I think also, as with other kinds of unusual sexuality, people who have it have a sort of radar for it. So people find you. Right. I never have had any. I've never had to look for partners.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Very unlikely.
Very unlikely. Well, I'm glad you're saying that because a lot of my listeners are like, how do I find a partner? How do I know? How do you...
It really won't be a problem if you're really there. It started for me when I was in high school, and a girl a year ahead of me in high school was a cheerleader and couldn't have been a more unlikely partner for the class nerd. I had somehow decided that there was something about me that was just the thing that she needed. And just the thing that she needed was to be, you know, tied up with scarves and spanked with
how
a belt before
know?
Having
okay.
sex. I have no idea how people know, but somehow
and she knew
we
you
know.
Were the guy.
And somehow she looked at me and she thought,
the cheerleader.
It's unlikely, but it's got to be him.
Right.
And in fact, she proposed this before we had.
She
you
said,
know,
hey, tie me up. She's like 17 or
yeah.
something?
Yeah. And before we actually got around to having conventional sex, we did that as foreplay, and it's pretty much been that way for me ever since.
Like, so can you have just traditional sex without any of that, or just doesn't do it for you?
Well, sure I could, and have, and have
do
done
you guys
so.
Ever, you guys just have regular...
No.
No?
Well,
no well, regular.
But why would we?
I don't know. Just because sometimes you're like, oh, I'm tired. I just don't feel like getting out the whips, the ties, the chains, you know, all the stuff.
If I'm that tired, I'm really probably not in a mood for sex anyway.
Wow, so
he's not a quickie. He's not a fast trick.
But sometimes, not quick, but just like 15 minutes maybe, but you don't want to get...
Never.
No. Do you have the underbed restraints and all that? I mean, you must have everything.
We have a whole room.
No kids.
No kids, right?
Yeah, so we don't have to put anything away.
That's true.
It's very convenient for us. And in fact, what we do for a living... really complements it nicely. I mean, it supports what we do. But it's even whatever, even if we do something that for us is like a relative quickie, the dominant submissive aspect of it is still there. You know, you're still wearing your collar. There are certain little symbolic things that we do. So even if what we're doing doesn't appear to be particularly elaborate or unusual, it's the headspace from which we're doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That means the most. That is the most important part of it.
So, Nina, have you always been into being the submissive? I don't think I knew this about you.
No, I've always been.
I feel like I knew.
I've
we
always,
talked for an hour.
I've always been into whatever sex is happening in the room with very few exceptions. Obviously, gay men are not going to have me in the room.
Right.
Heterosexual women are not going to have me in the room. You know, but and for me, my idea of sex is, ooh, naked people, where? How can I join in? So when I think of sex, I don't think of having intercourse myself. I think of being in a room with sexual energy and seeing where I fit in. I never had a dominant submissive fantasy, but I fell in love with the man, not the role. And so in order to have sexual attention from Ernest, I needed to learn his love language. Luckily, I'm very, very – I'm a universal adapter. When it comes to sex, like a stem cell.
I get it.
And so if I like you, if I'm interested in sex with you and you have a particular way of doing it, I'm happy to learn that way in because I'm always fascinated with what gets people going, like you. It's like, oh, wow.
Totally. Yeah. No, I'm actually the same way.
And so.
And some people would think, oh, what is that? Like you're just following. No.
I'm open.
Like, hey, I've never tried it. I'm down.
Consenting adults. Otherwise, you know, no one's cheating. No one is lying. We're all here on purpose and we know why we're here. I'm down for anything within reason. I mean, you know, I have some hard limits, but everybody does. So turns out that the kind of sex Ernest likes to have is, for me, super swoon inducing. And he's the only man I've ever slept with that doesn't get boring.
I see that.
Every other guy, it's like twice and done.
Can we clone him?
Please, I've been trying.
You've never been bored of all the men partners you've
had.
And I've had
a lot of men.
I know, I'm sure. A lot of people watched you.
And the most exciting man I like to have sex with 4 times a year, only if I don't talk to them in between time.
I dare you.
To find someone I live with. We work together, we're married, and then the hot sex is just crazy after 4. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I think that's amazing
every day,
that you guys are able to do that together.
It's crazy. I mean,
what is the secret then?
Well, in our particular case, it happens to be that our desires align, even though the template with which we express them really comes from me and from the DS place. But as far as the things that we actually do, we just do a lot of interesting, fun, different things. It's never the same twice.
Always. See, that's what I.
Think about it. There are 5 behaviors. There's hugging and kissing, sucking and fucking, and hugging and
tugging.
There's kissing and hugging and sucking, but it's fucking and massage. There's 5 behaviors. There are 3 orifices for females and 2 for men, and 6 groupings. It's all been done.
Right.
So we hug and we kiss and we suck and we fuck and he gives head and everything.
But they do all those. But people sometimes ask me, do you people ever have like regular
sex? That's what I just asked you.
Yeah, well, we do. But we do this foreplay. At the same time.
Right. So if the average length of sex is 15 minutes, kiss, kiss, hug, hug, he gets erect, they move to intercourse, he comes, maybe she does, they fall asleep. So if we play for 90 minutes, there's 20 minutes of looking at porn and having a drink, and there's 20, and then so there's sucking and fucking and beating and spanking, and so we maybe mix it up. So
okay,
there's still in 90 minutes of play, there may be 35 accumulated minutes of intercourse, maybe 40, and the rest is other things.
Right.
So we're just, it's a party.
Right. I love, it's a party every time.
Yes, it
I
is.
I mean, seriously, you are, right now, you have like people listening going, how the hell can I get that? Can I get that? Not if they're even into it.
It's about, it's what we give attention to. We,
right.
We honor.
It's learn. It's a set of learnable skills.
It is learnable skills.
It is a skill set.
So what would you tell, because like I said, not everyone's, they always, I mean, a million times a day, I woke up this morning, I had 3 press requests. How do we spice it up in the, I mean, really, like you want to show, well, you should take a vacation, get away from it. But there's more to it. It's more about communicating and discussing and picking the right partner that you know has the same sexual blueprint or a similar.
And not expecting that the new sex, spontaneity, mutual lust all the time is going to be able to be able to hold off.
Right.
No, you're going to have to use your imagination in addition to all your other parts.
Exactly.
I mean, that's going to have to be in there. And one thing I would say right at the beginning, there is not everything that we do and not everything that we know about what we do would be applicable to most people's relationships.
Right.
If you are not in some way bent in that direction, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to turn you on.
Right.
However, there is something that is a practice that is part of what we do that I think is adaptable to every kind of relationship, which is negotiated, communicated, understanding in advance of what it is that you want to do. That's the thing that's absolutely
sexually
necessary. Yes. That's absolutely necessary for what we do because it involves safety.
Right.
You know, and it involves people's comfort level and not taking them too far out of their comfort zone. A little bit is okay. Too much, not okay.
Right.
So you've got to know all that stuff up front. Well, I think that would be a thing that what we call, if you'll pardon the expression, vanilla couples could also stand to do.
I agree. And I feel like there should be some kind of intake form when you start dating someone. Because I feel like so many people are mismatched sexually. I mean, because they don't understand that the first 9 months, a year, it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, they're like, I feel like every day people wake up and they find out that the world isn't flat. They're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. We've been together and now we don't have sex anymore. And I'm not attracted to her. She doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. I'm like, people, this happens. This is normal. This is natural. How do you avoid that?
People expect sex to just happen. The media support that just happening, TV and movies, it just happens. We didn't think about it. Ernest and I think about it. We make date night. So we know that on Friday at 5 o'clock, between 5 o'clock and 5 or 5 o'clock and 5:30 or whatever time we start, there is the daytime. Then there's setting up the space, setting out the
It's part of your ritual.
And there's a ritual, and that really does get you in the space.
It does. It's like foreplay.
Ritual isn't sacred. It allows the sacred to emerge. So what we respect in each other is we respect our sexual life together enough to make space for it and give it a full attention.
Right.
Computers are off. Phones are off. Nothing. If it's not bleeding or on fire, it can wait.
Right, exactly. Turn the phones off. People always say that they just, you know, they can't make time because they don't prioritize it. I think that people have to start talking about sex very, very early on because then you won't have all, you know, if you're mismatched sexually, but you've been together and you have kids and the whole thing, you don't see how you can get out of it. And you're never going to change something. If you want it more, you decide you want something different and you can't talk her into having a threesome or having some kind of kink. I don't know. You can't talk someone into it.
Well, actually,
you could try like saying, let's watch porn and see what interests you. But these are the things that you got to figure out before you walk down the aisle, before you make a commitment. Yeah. And I'm just wondering I try to tell people to talk about it, but people are so uncomfortable talking about sex, which is
why they're
emailing me with 10-page letters. I'm like, what? Talk to your partner. They can't. They don't.
And we don't give people the skills.
The thing is that with the kind of sex that we do, with BDSM sex, you don't have the option of not communicating.
Right.
There are risks involved. In fact, there are various terms to describe what it is we do. The current one, the currently trending one, is called risk-aware consensual kink, or RAC for short.
I like that. Okay.
Got a nice ring to it. Before that, it used to be safe, sane, and consensual, but I always thought the word sane.
Yeah, I'm not so sure what it means,
you know,
people.
Look, people who wear latex in July, think it's good, think it's fun.
I don't know. I've lived in San Francisco for 20 years. I'm like, yeah, who doesn't wear latex in July?
So,
but no, I get what you're saying.
As far as the awareness that's necessary to do this safely and to do this in a manner that's not psychologically harmful and that isn't going to get you arrested, you really do have to sit down and go through that questionnaire. you don't have the choice of not confronting the question of what's okay and what isn't okay.
Right.
Then, after you've gotten those boundaries laid down, within those boundaries, you've got incredible freedom because you know where those limits are, and right. anything inside of them is okay.
Right, exactly. So what if someone, a couple's just starting out, and they're thinking, God, you know, I just would like to tie up my partner, or I'd like to blindfold her or him, and how do you...
There's a lot of terrific literature out there. Believe me, the world has changed greatly since when I began in all of this. There's lots of good stuff to read. There's lots of good stuff and bad stuff online. That has become, in my opinion, our greatest challenge, is how we are going to deal with the huge influx of people who are fascinated by this.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody can represent themselves as anything in that situation. You don't have to prove, as you did when I got in, right. you had to sort of prove that you were at least serious about learning how to do right. it safely and correctly. Now you don't have to prove anything. If you can convince someone to go along with it, you can right. probably... you know, get them to do that, and the results might be okay or they might be not okay. So we have some challenges of our own. I mean, when I first joined an SM group in Los Angeles, which was at that time the preeminent Los right. Angeles SM group, it had 64 members. This was back in 1983. Well, by the time I eventually had been, you know, head of that group for six terms, it had grown to 750 members, and I thought that was a kind of an unwieldy number.
That's a lot. What year are we talking about?
Yeah, by the time 1987 or 88 rolled around, it suddenly after Madonna came along and started wearing her underwear on stage, everything changed. It changed the world. And all kinds of people got interested in this thing, and it became a dynamic idea right. that attracted a lot of attention, and some of the attention was good and some of the attention was not good. Some of the people it attracted were just right for it, and thank heaven they
found
it.
What was going on in this group? Was this, these your partners in the group, or was it more about supporting each other?
It was actually mostly about education. It was about learning techniques, because there is a technical aspect to this. If you're going to do BDSM sex in a way that's going to be mutually satisfying, there are things that you need to learn how to do.
Like break it down, like if you're a beginner.
Well, if you're a beginner, the first thing you need to learn how to do is to get access to one another's fantasies. What do you picture yourself doing? What role do you picture yourself in? What sounds like it would be exciting? Then you begin to address the practical questions of how much of that fantasy can you actually make real within your skill level? Now, you have the advantage these days of being able to attend all kinds of seminars and events and courses and so on and so forth, where people who have been doing this for years can show you how to do the thing that you want to do.
Right.
But you will still have to focus on acquiring the skills necessary. I used to teach a lot of bondage workshops, because one of the things I used to do is rig bondage professionally right. for photographs and so on. And I would start out with a room full of bright-eyed, interested young folk,
right.
and I'd have all this gear and junk laid out on a table in front of me, all kind of ropes and chains and stuff, and I'd say, so, you want to do some bondage? What is the first thing you need? Is it this? And I'd hold up some rope, and they'd nope, not that. Put it down. How about this? I'd hold up a pair of handcuffs. Nope, not that. What you need is this, and then I'd hold up a pair of paramedic scissors. I'd say the first thing you need to know is how
right,
to get people out of things
right.
very
first.
Quickly. If somebody starts to feel anxious, if they start to feel uncomfortable in any way, you got to get them out of there first. So think ahead. You have to learn to think ahead. Is that the sweet spot in BDSM is that place where your instincts, your physiological desires, and your skills all come together, because they all have to be working together for it to really be a quality experience.
Right. Okay, that's good. That's good for starting out. Like, people who are, what if it's just basic, that they're thinking, you know, okay, I got to bring a 50 Shades of Grey.
I knew you would. I knew we were going there.
I had to. And I thought on the way over, I don't want to, but I am. Because that's just, I think, now it's become part of the consciousness. It's been part of the national discussion. That women, and I don't know so much that they want that. It's more about, I mean, some might. They might be thinking, God, I wish that my partner would do this. And I don't know how to talk to him about it. It's not that I want a dungeon. It's not that I want, like, what you guys have at your house, which I'm sure is amazing.
It is.
But it's just a little bit. Like, maybe a spanking or, how do you communicate that?
By asking. You know, one of my earlier partners said, how do you have such tremendous success getting people to do this?
Getting women, not people. He's women. Heterosexual.
Yes, I am. Relentlessly. how do you get so many women to do this? I said, I ask them.
Right.
You know, it's surprising when you put it to people as one intelligent person to another. Have you ever considered doing this, and would you be interested? You'd be surprised how many say, yeah, I've actually thought about it a few times and kind of wondered about it. Okay. Well, that's curiosity is the beginning.
Well, this is the thing, because I have a question for you, because you said that most women, most partners say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I get turned down. I've gotten turned down, you know, 3-4 times in my life. No, come on. It's
whatever. No, but I was reading stuff about the story of O, and and they said that the themes in this book depict the true nature of women.
No, they
and
do
so
not.
I want to say that that's what, like, one of the people who were on the book, one of the critics, and do you, so I'm, but I'm asking, you've had so many women who are consensual. Do you think, not that so many women want to be into BDSM, but they want to be dominated?
I think some do and some don't. I absolutely think it's, I don't think it's gender related. In fact, you know, gender politics pours my ass off. It has nothing to do with anything. One of the things I really liked about the SM community when I first got into it was that it was the first place I ever was where gender carried no behavioral expectations whatsoever. You know, that we had dominant men and submissive women. We had dominant women and submissive men. We had dominant transvestites. We had all kinds of
things. No, I know,
all kinds
just,
of odd,
but
odd
I guess I'm talking about
things.
Like the story of O, that yeah. was this quintessential.
Well, there
like,
were the, there are those who want to believe that, and I, you know, I reject those politics.
Okay.
In fact,
good.
I think those,
I mean,
are,
I
think
to,
those
I
are dangerous politics.
I agree. I totally agree. I was wondering what you thought. So when you do you remember when you first read the story of O?
Yeah.
Okay.
I certainly do. I read it when I was about 15. I got it through the mail from Grove Press. Yay, Barney Rossett. His spirit is with us today. And I read it, and I found it absolutely riveting and fascinating and, you know, couldn't put it down, which, of course, since it's only 200 pages long, you don't have to put it down. You can get it done in about a day. And then at the end of it, I threw it against the wall. It was like, what? That's what we were leading up to?
Right.
Because I'm not going to – no spoiler to tell you that it has no end. I can't possibly spoil the end for you because there isn't one. If you know the history of how it was written, it was never intended to be published. So basically at some point the author kind of just ran out of steam on it and it couldn't get the act off stage. And so they have a kind of Michael O'Donohue and then they were all run over by a truck kind of ending. So the book has some great things about it and it has some things that are very frustrating. The characters are not well developed. The female characters are better developed than the male characters, but that's not saying much because the male characters are absolutely cardboard cutouts. There is nothing about the two men to whom O gives herself as a slave that would make any sense at all any rational person.
Right.
What would make either of these guys attractive to that degree? Well, there probably was something, but bear in mind that the person who wrote that book didn't much like BDSM.
Right,
they didn't call it. They call it sadomasochism.
It was kind of a challenge, right? It was like a love letter, right?
She was in love with a guy who was into it,
right?
And she was not. And what she basically, they were both writers, and she said, "Well, I can't do the things that you like to do, but I can write the kind of book that you like to read." And so she wrote it for him as a birthday present, read it to him, and then, being as he was an author of some repute, he more or less, and things being as they were in France at that time, he said, "Nope, it must be published." And she was like, "But." But and the next thing you knew, it was published.
It was published, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then what about Master of O? So did you, how much did you change the characters and how much did you change the, it's from the male perspective.
Yes.
Because you felt the male characters were underdeveloped?
They
were cardboard.
right. I mean, I read it so long ago.
So unappealing. You know, there was nothing about them that anyone would like, much less want to do all the things that she did for them. So I wanted to provide some kind of a more believable example of a more complex kind of personality who happens to be dominant, likes that kind of sexuality, and who would attract a high-powered, capable, accomplished woman of the type that O was in the original book.
Right.
I think that O, of all the characters in my book, is the most similar to the original, you know, model than any of the others. The others are all completely different.
Right.
I mean, the guys are completely different. But there were certain things about O that were recognizable as a personality type that I would encounter later in life. You know, a lot of the people who prefer to play in the submissive role and prefer their sex to be in the submissive role are extremely high-powered, driven, ambitious, you know, very, very orderly kinds of personalities with a clear plan for everything. That's the kind of person who really needs a vacation.
Exactly.
They need an hour and a half vacation from that.
You take care of it. I totally understand. Yep.
They need to let go of the wheel for a minute so somebody else can drive. And that's basically what you get to do. So I really wanted that character, I wanted the character of O to be, I wanted it to be very, very clear.
Very clear that
this
was
what she was all about.
Right.
And in fact, she was all about it herself. She lived a fetishistic life even when she was unpartnered. It was just part of who, it was part of her identity. And then she met a guy who was kind of like that too, a hard driving, successful guy who was
based in modern day Los Angeles.
Yes,
right?
Set in modern day Los Angeles, which has some similarities to Paris in 1953. It's a place of self reinvention. people come here to become somebody that they weren't before. And there are a whole lot of people out here doing
still
that.
Still happening every day, right?
Well, in Paris in 1954 was kind of like that. They'd had a rough 10 years or so before that. And there were a lot of people who really wanted to kind of be somebody other than whoever they were before that. So as France emerged as it had not really been before as a center of popular culture, film, fashion, journalism, all kinds of stuff of that kind. And indeed, it's no accident that in both books, in Story of O and in Master of O, O is a, in my book, of course, she's a pornographic photographer.
Okay.
But in the original, she was a fashion photographer, but for the time, you know, the connection was still there.
Right.
And there's an interesting sequence in the original where she does a photo shoot for fashion purposes, and she sees, for the first time, having had the experience herself, the fetishistic implications of fashion. That when,
right,
you know,
absolutely.
That, you know, when she, that when she puts a ribbon choker around a model's neck, it might be a collar, you know, that she sees this now with new eyes.
Right.
So...
So how much did you read? Were you like, did you read the story again, go back and forth, or was it more like you just took the basic? Because I'm going to fully admit that I have not read it yet, because, and I'm very upset about it. And I'm going to read it like tomorrow, which is why I'm.
It's 900 pages long. You're not going to read it tomorrow.
I can't read it tomorrow. People can download it though. Masterofo.com.
Yes, you can download it tonight.
Quick.
Okay, good.
Then
I don't feel so bad because I was out of time. No, masterofo.com. Just go download it now because you got amazing reviews on it, on your site and everything. And we're going to read a little excerpt in a little bit. But so how much did you change the story? Like, was it more like just going off the story? Was it like more modern day BDSM? Do you think it's changed a lot?
Oh, I think it's changed a great deal.
Well,
one thing that I really disliked about the original book, and it was not necessarily the author's fault. It was something that was imposed in an introduction written by the guy who made her publish it. You know, it was his dismissal of the idea that there was any physical pleasure for the submissive partner.
Exactly,
in this thing.
That's what I. Okay.
That it was all about, you know, giving it up for love. That you suffered to love. You were a martyr to love. Oh boy,
Catholic.
Nobody.
So different. Just, I mean, yeah. Right? Because she was. She has discernible pleasure in this.
Yes,
she wants it. She's
absolutely.
She's
yeah,
it.
She has.
Right.
You could say she has discernible
pleasure.
Oh my
God, that's what I've read. I mean, I've read
pages.
Everything about. I mean, today I've been like obsessed.
Every
I mean,
three
the last
pages,
week,
she has discernible
right,
pleasure.
I'm
her
so
whole
excited.
Life is about
I can't
that.
Wait for you to read it.
No, these
exactly.
are very hedonistic characters, and they really enjoy themselves. Let me tell you, nobody ever took a second whipping out of love.
How long did it take? No, how long did it take you to write the book?
1 year exactly.
Exactly. Like, and what's your writing style? Is it every day? You sit and write?
Yes, I am one of those. You know,
you're some disciplined
people
like that.
That isn't that. People who have to discipline themselves to write, or like people who have to discipline themselves to do SM. They should probably take up another hobby.
Right. That's
if
true.
I were one of those people who found writing difficult, I'd do something else.
Right.
But
so you've always
like
found
it.
Yeah, you like it. You enjoy it. You sit. Do you have like a room that you sit in? And
yeah. And it's actually my desk is in our play space, so I can look up and, you know, there it all is to remind me in case I'd forgotten. But really writing this was a lot of fun because I got to use a lot of bits and pieces of a lot of people I really knew from that
and
world.
And Nina, she's in there?
Yes, she's in there in a role that's what I did was I cast against type. She's in there playing a role that's really not much like her. And I did that with lots of people. There are some recognizable folks in there.
Of people he really
there's
knew.
Some recognizable people. If you know who they are, you'll recognize them. And it's interesting that when some of them were asked to blurb the book, there was a sort of moment of discomfort when they said, sort of familiar, but okay, I'll do it anyway.
Was that me? Was that you? I know you've had a lot of partners. Okay, when we come back, we're going to hear from Nina. I've just got some words from our sponsors here. We want to keep this show free. And I just would be great if you could support our sponsors. Let me tell you about Permescent. Did you know 1 in 3 men suffers from premature ejaculation? Well, now you don't have to. Permescent is a quickly absorbing delay spray that allows you to have the sex you want. You don't even have to think about baseball or your great Aunt Margaret with the furry mustache. You can focus on your partner's hot body, especially now that you have the time to make her orgasm or him orgasm. Also, Permescent closes the arousal gap between men and women. You might get there faster than she would like, so Permescent helps you last twice as long. Thousands of urologists are recommending Permescent, the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. Go to Permescent.com to find out more. That's Permescent, PROMESCENT.com. It's not rising to the top. That's a challenge. It's staying there. Also, our sponsors, which you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with, is Good Vibrations.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. We love Good Vibrations. So one of the reasons, again, you're able to listen for free is because of the incredible people at GoodVibes.com. They carry all the best sex toy brands. You can get the Rabbit Habit from Vibratex, the Fun Factory Amarino, which is one of my new faves, a pocket rocket. You can even get the strongest, most orgasmic vibrator of all time, the Magic Wand. Use code GVEMILY for 20% off, or go to my site, sexwithemily.com. Click on the Good Vibrations banner to see my favorite toys. You know I've tried them all. That's goodvibes.com, coupon code GVEMILY20. Thanks again, everyone, for supporting my sponsors.
Awesome.
You've been
good
very
sponsors.
Involved with Good Vibes, too. I know, right?
If I hadn't been, again, if I had not been exhibitionistic enough for porn, I would have gotten a job there.
Yeah, I know.
They started when I was 18, and I just loved the idea of them all along.
I love it. Yeah. They're amazing. So go buy some toys today. And we got some callers coming in. So we
oh,
got some
cool. Bring them on.
So we've got the first call. Hello, Justin.
Hey.
Hey, Justin. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Calling from Virginia tonight. How can I help you? You're on with Ernest Green, Nina Harley, and myself. We're all here to help you.
All right. So I was hanging out with one of my ex-girlfriends today. And after the fact that I kissed her, she tells me that she had contracted herpes from one of her ex-boyfriends after we broke up.
Okay.
And I didn't know if I could contract it from mouth-to-mouth contact or would I have to have,
genital contact. I mean, if she was having an inflammation, but she has genital herpes, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if she wasn't, the chances are you probably didn't contract it if you didn't have sex with her. If you didn't have intercourse with her, you wouldn't get it just from kissing her. No. But, you know, if you have to take necessary measures, obviously, if you do have sex with her. But unless she was having, you know, cold sores or there was some kind of breakout in her mouth, you don't run the risk.
Okay. I'm
yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah, I think you're good. Anything else, Nina, that you guys want to add to that? Do you know what I mean? I think that's pretty straightforward, except for...
Just, you know, look before you leap. Another reason to have sex with the lights on. Any broken skin... Just do something else that night.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Even if it's, quote unquote, only a shaving bump, an open skin is open skin. Don't have sex with any sores, cuts, abrasions, nicks, anything like that.
Yeah, you should be investigating it ahead of time. So that's what I say to you, Justin. No worries. I think you're fine.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay, sure. Thanks so much for calling. Okay, so
wasn't ready
Ernest
for that
Green.
At all.
What? No, because it wasn't about your book. I know people just call in with questions sometimes. You know, it happens.
You know, I can answer that question though.
I know you could. I figured, you know, hey.
I wanted to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead, Anderson.
Ask a question.
Ernest, when you meet people,
yes.
Do you size them up immediately and say like that guy's a bottom or a top or like submissive? I mean, do you try and like Emily doing the show with her tonight?
Yeah. What do you think about me? Am I?
You
sex
think
life?
She wants to be in charge?
I think you're a switch.
Really?
Yep.
Depending on your partner.
I have a partner that I've been with that wanted me to be more dominant, and I've never done it.
I don't think it would be your natural inclination, but I think if you could see that it actually was pleasing to the person you were doing it with and that you could acquire the necessary skill set to do it very easily, I think you'd enjoy it.
It's on my list.
Because let me tell you, if you're a giving person, this is what I always say, you're a giving person. I like to think that if you are that kind of dominant, the fact that it is obviously pleasing to your partner is reason enough to do it.
Exactly.
You know, so I would say that you would probably
and
be able
he
to
does,
you know, go
no, no, don't let him lie to you. He has kink dar. There's a line in the book that I will let the people read, but we both like looking at women, and he's 100% kinky. I'm 40% kinky, 40% poly, and 20% vanilla.
Okay.
So I have a wider palette of sex.
But you've got that pretty broken down.
Pretty
Do you still
much.
Have sex with other people?
Oh, yeah.
Threesomes?
Threesomes, and then we actually have solo partners. Because I need some vanilla on the side.
Right.
But he said
we're non-monogamous. That was a condition.
Right.
It had to be there.
So he has
And
kink
it works.
Dart.
People
it
never
works.
Think it works. People
oh, it works
like
for
it
us.
It works. It works if that is your orientation.
Exactly.
So
you have to be oriented
I'll look
to
at
it.
A beautiful woman on the street that I know physically the type that he would go for.
Right.
And he'll look at her and go, oh, nice. Because she doesn't. He can tell if a woman has that energy, the aura.
Right.
You
have the kink dart.
He has kink dart.
Yeah.
I'm like a puppy. Hi, naked people wear.
Right.
And he's like, nah, her.
Yep.
And you're right. You nail it.
And he nails it.
And then you nail her, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll help.
right. I love that. You guys.
I like playing
amazing.
The torture. I like playing. See, so when I'm a stem cell, so I adapt to my partner's energy. So when we're alone, I'm always playing from the submissive role. And I really like it. It's very personal, romantic,
What do you
intimate.
Like about it?
I like, it's like a constant, it's always the romance novel cover where she's swooning and he's his big bad self. It's like, oh, it's like he's reading your mind. So the sex we have is always like that first time sex just taken away. Oh my gosh.
So how aggressive, how intense is it?
Oh, it's intense. I'm masochistic. There's whipping, caning, beating, air quotes, all consensual.
This is
hitting with implements designed to hit bodies with. So right. Leather whips, riding crops, rattan canes, his hand sometimes a loose fist.
Let me tell you, a butt is a lot tougher than a hand.
Yeah, for sure.
Wear out first.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I like our BDSM is violence without anger and pain without fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very, air quotes, violent. He pushes me around. He hits me. He shoves me against things. But it is like a dance, like an aposh dance.
Have you ever been hurt?
No, actually. One time you bruised me. I was just having him in such a space, and he stopped before I wanted to.
Usually I'm the one who says, rarely, I think that's enough of that.
In 14 years, you've marked me more than an hour twice. So he.
Wow. So never any marks or bruises? Because I had a guy slap my ass once, like four times, and I had a bruise.
Well,
but it was just very casual.
Some people bruise more easily. But also,
don't forget, you know how boxers' hands can toughen up?
Yeah. You get tough.
Iron butt, called
right.
Iron butt.
Oh, iron butt, right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like squats at the gym and stuff.
There are some women I've been with who, I was quite sure that the next. And I said, you know, you want to.
Even Monday. Monday's play date. You thought for sure she was an hour later, clean as a
whistle. No, okay, so no, can we talk about the jealousy thing here? Not. Like, no, you're like, yeah, Monday's play date. So you came home and told her about it and you're cool.
No, we had it together.
Oh, the two of you. Okay, I thought there was someone else you were with.
That. No. So the way that we are, when I first got with him, the conditioned upon relationship was non-monogamy because I dealt with that in my first marriage.
Right.
No. So.
Not cut out for it.
And he's loyal. He is as a fierce, he's fiercely in love with me, but it's not for us. We don't need our sex to be always in the same body as our romance.
Right.
Now, sex with him alone is clearly the best of the best, absolutely. But you know you're cut out for non-monogamy if the statement, the more people I fuck, the more I love my partner, makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Anybody can be fun once or once in a while, but fun all the time, that's a special person. I can have fun with anybody once.
Right, exactly.
Ooh, who are you? Hey, new body. You know, or four times a year.
Yeah.
So that's just the chemistry. That's the luck of the draw.
I was just born without the jealousy gene. I just don't know what it is.
I too. It's funny.
I had to heal mine to have the life I wanted. He never had it.
When people are jealous, when they tell me, I'm kind of a jealous person, I ask them this one question. Tell me one thing in all of human history, one good thing that's come about as a result of someone being jealous. I can't think of one myself. I mean, I fail to see it as a productive aspect of anything about human nature. I never liked it.
But I hear people who make their partner a little bit jealous to get their partner's attention.
Yes.
And so that's all the mate guarding and the mate guarding bullshit.
Right.
And they're the difference between love and lust. And so the companionship and intimacy you have with a long-term partner is
very
great.
Easy to get my attention. You don't have to go to all that trouble.
Right? No, right. Just you know. What I love about being married to a fetishist is I know that if I want behavior B, I will do behavior A, and if I do A, I'll get B. If I want C, I'll do D. It's really
and you
simple.
Feel like all of your sexual needs are getting taken care of.
I am partly because. Because we're not monogamous. So,
right, because so you're bisexual.
I'm bisexual. I do like having vanilla sex. I do like sometimes being in charge, and he does not switch. He's heterosexual, not straight, and he does not switch. I'm a top-heavy switch.
Right.
You know, I don't need to beat boy butt, but I'm not saying I don't like it.
Right.
Sometimes.
So how often are you guys with other people?
Ideally, we'd have one threesome a month and a solo date each a month.
Yeah.
So after 14 years, we make room for sex once a week. And we value that. We prioritize that. Instead of movies, instead of going to the museum.
Right,
let me also say that we have this knack, and maybe it comes something, there's something work-related in it, but whatever it is, when we get down to doing it, we become strangers to each other. That's part of the appeal of it, you know.
Of the BDSM. Right.
Is that I become, you know, I become the dominant partner. She becomes the submissive partner. Now we are different people than the people we were sitting in the living room.
And we don't talk a lot during our sex. It's not.
You don't have to.
Some dominance use words.
Right. Oh, I hate that.
He's using my body to help me go where I want to go.
Right. And where do you want to go?
I like feeling my partner's I like my partners to be their bad self, to be fully themselves. And so
and that's
I
what turns you on, is that you know that.
Right.
That
I like to welcome that. I like to make it okay for that person to step up into that space. And he's someone who is absolutely fine with who right. he is.
It's no,
like,
I'm not your barking part? Kind of
so
dom.
Do you have intercourse? Like, do
oh, fuck,
a
fuck
after...
Him.
So fuck after,
so
after, during,
walk me through a session.
Okay,
even though they're not all the same.
No.
But the basic template's the same. So, a basic sesh. There's pornography set out. He pours me a drink.
What kind of porn?
Illustrated, single.
Really twisted.
Really twisted, sick, evil.
Really dark
cartoons.
Cartoons,
so, drawings.
Right,
so,
okay.
So don't have to worry about anyone's
illustrated
shoulders
porn.
Or does it.
No,
you know, it's not a real person.
I don't worry about somebody being hurt. In fact,
right.
I edit a cartoon magazine
yeah,
for
yeah,
this type, in which so we say no actual tunes were harmed in the making of these comics.
Right.
So the setting up. So I set up the room. There is going to be lube and baby wipes
lots
and gloves and the vibrator's already stung. And
which vibrator?
A magic wand. Yeah, of course.
But you will be collared. You will be cuffed.
I wear collar, my collar, cuffs, and high heels.
Do you put them all on yourself?
Yeah, I do.
So and then what do you wear?
Except for the
nothing.
Collar, I put that on her.
He puts a collar on me because that's a romantic thing. He kisses
right.
the back of my neck and locks a collar on. And then
right.
he puts on his riding boots and his little, you know, envelope cap made of leather. We drink the drink.
Yeah, you could laugh
what's
at this stuff,
like
folks.
I like a single malt scotch, so I'm good for one.
Okay.
I don't drink.
I have a limit of one drink.
Okay.
And we're so, but once the hat goes on and the porn comes out, then all the discipline is all conversation is about sex. So if I think about, oh God, that thing next week.
No,
that
wrong.
Has to wait.
You just have to replace it, which is just a good tool.
Is it a
good during
yes.
sex?
This absolutely.
Kind of sex.
To do this well requires focus and concentration.
Right,
right.
And you can't really be thinking about next week while you're doing it and have a good
right,
time.
Right, exactly.
And
that's, I wish
time.
That most
so
people would transfer that into just regular.
Right, but
sex
so as we so what so for what we can so so all the sex and then because of the role structure, he may say, you know. Would you like XXX? It's not really a question. My answer is yes, sir.
Right.
You know,
but that doesn't mean she can't make suggestions. Would you find it amusing if I were to do such
right.
and such?
So one thing, what keeps it fresh is you learn how to speak in a way that gives me full agency
right.
without breaking the role. This is the ultimate role play.
Right, it is.
So he's in charge and he's Fred and I'm Ginger. Well, Ginger can communicate. So I can't say, hey, Ernest, you know, scratch my back. But
right.
I can say, would sir like to see?
Yes.
And if he says yes, then that's a yes. And if he says no, drop it.
Right.
And so for me, the emotional practice of learning how not to argue within the scene,
right.
that took a minute. So the what I like about
role plays, I mean,
what I like about the role playing is that it forms very firm fences within which to roam. And so then we get out of the living room, walk back to the, I may have a butt plug in, but they put it in a lewd manner.
Which butt plug do you like these days?
My favorite one died. I don't even know though, I don't have a name.
In your butt?
No, almost. But no. The secret is to, everything is permitted except modesty. So my job as a air quote sex slave, consensual, the game,
right?
Is that lewdness is? So I'm supposed to want to get some. My job is to be horny and into
right.
sex. So I get to. I'm free.
So
of,
if I walk her back from the living room, let's say to
you walk
the,
her
to
on
the
a,
play space. No,
oh.
I hold my collar and
right.
I might hold her collar or I might hold her arms behind
mm-hmm.
her, and of course she's going to. You know, some,
right.
there are some kinds of dominants who really, I don't know what their problem is, but they don't like any kind of initiative on the part of
right.
their submissive partners, and they're missing out.
No, I don't
no,
to get
her
some.
Exactly.
Right.
I've told her that her number one duty as a slave is to get some.
Right.
So
right.
if I happen to be, you know, be standing behind her holding her arms and her hands are still available, she'll use them.
Right.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
what might happen.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
And I will not fight it.
So,
okay.
so in the back, so...
Nina?
The, yes.
You said you put the butt plug in a lewd manner and you didn't expand. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'll sprawl my back on the couch and I'll lube it up and I'll lift
right.
my leg and hold my butt cheek up and watch it go in. And I'll dab the lube off with a baby
right.
wipe and, oh, sit down.
And Ernest is watching this
yes.
whole, that's this whole part of the experience. Which is
and then that's pre-drink and pre-porn. So already it's like, hee-hee, and I've cleaned up my butt and
right.
there's a pre-flight checklist.
How do you clean it out?
I use a butt, I call it a butt squeegee, but a bulb syringe. You do not need to use an enema.
No, we're not enemas. People have just been asking a lot lately.
No, just clean out. A lot of high fiber diet and a lot of water, so you have so that part of your body's happy and regular. And then rinse out a few pieces that might be left, and it's a finger's length or dick's length. It's fine.
Right.
But the sex is I'm masochistic. I like being hit with things, and what he does in what order, that's up to him.
And you never know what's coming.
No. That's the fun part.
No,
right,
I,
that is
I,
why
I
it's always
it.
Different.
I don't really have an agenda. I usually go in there and see what
it's like
seems,
an art.
Seems like
yeah.
a, you know, what
some
seems
days
appealing.
It's a cane. Some days it's a whip. Some days it's a cane and the whip. Some days it's a horse. Some days it's a suspension. Some days it's being bounced against the wall. I mean,
and are you getting more and more turned on?
Oh,
with
for sure. Because
right.
he's a massively good cunnilingus.
Well, oh, so you stopping and doing cunnilingus?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, cunnilingus and fucking.
It's a little fucking, a little whipping, a little bondage,
a little fucking, a little whipping.
A little
fellatio.
A little fellatio, a little fucking, a little whipping, a little cunnilingus, a little fucking.
Right, see, and this is what I'm saying is that people, what if you're just like vanilla but you want to introduce a little role play? How would you suggest that to people?
I would start with, you can have, you know, a bowl with roles. So, you know, often role play has to do with power dynamic.
Absolutely.
Teacher, student, cop, NDD, doctor, patient. So basically in role play, we're agreeing that you're taking the lead and we're agreeing that I'm taking the follow, and that within reason, I'm probably going to say yes, but you know what not to ask me so you don't get a no. So you're not going to ask me.
Right.
So that's that limit thing. So I know. So it's the being good dominant is giving the right orders, and the right orders, the right orders are
order
finding
people
out
to do what they want. Right. They'll always they'll be
right.
very obedient.
So I like that idea to just pick it. People like, oh, am I going to come home and I'm just going to become a nurse and he's going to
no,
pick it out. I like that, and then just play with it and go with it. You might laugh at first, but just start. It's just a way of having sex with having sex with someone.
Yeah, but is it, you
just
know,
changing it up?
It's not arbitrary for us. I mean,
you guys are different. I'm just talking about people
who are really drawn to BDSM sexuality and sexuality, they're usually pretty much, even people who switch are usually pretty much one way or the other.
Right.
They prefer to be in one role or the other and generally are better at it. You know, you do best the thing that you like best.
Right.
So this is the thing that I like best. And generally, you know, listen, we start out sometimes with some
kissing, making out on the couch and heavy petting.
Always do that.
So right. I mean,
but when we get in there, sometimes, you know, I'll have a riding crop under my arm and I'll have you get up on the bed and I'll on the bondage bed and I'll give you a few whaps on the ass.
But do you ever feel like want to right now?
No.
If either one of us doesn't want to, we just don't do it at all. Because I'll tell you something.
We have to have you read Were you going to say something? Okay,
Well, all I was going to say is that you really have to be in the mood to do this because it really requires some concentration.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you're
not focused, you can't do it.
Which is the best kind of things in life is when you are focused and in the moment. That's the kind of
best. And one thing, let me tell you one thing about being a dominant guy that's sort of challenging is that you need to be able to keep a hard on while you're fiddling around with ropes and whips and stuff. So
how
you
do
have
you do that?
You've got to focus on the sexual aspect of it. You've got to be your inner movie is saying, everything I'm doing here is leading up to something that's going to feel really good.
Right, that's
you
smart.
Know, and if you can keep that going, you're good.
As a submissive, playing from the submissive role, my job is to be in the eternal now. His job is three steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The dominant,
which is so nice to be like, just let it all go.
The dominant sets the agenda. The submissive sets the tone, the mood.
Right. Okay.
You know, am I? And depending on the day, some days I'm really strong, meaning I really like. I can take more beating than other days.
Right.
I am generally masochistic. I like, and that does not mean I like pain. It's not pain.
No,
it's not,
if you experience
it's not pain,
it as
pain,
if
it's not pleasure.
It's not being done
it's
right.
It's pleasure.
It's intensity.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of pain, safe word.
Yeah, well,
have you guys use the same safe word over and over
again?
You want to know something funny about that? I have, over the years, had many partners to whom I have given safe words, and I've never heard one used.
That means you're good at it.
People really very rarely go that far. The thing is, the public confusion about this is that it's about pain. No, it's not about pain. It's about pleasure. So when are you going to use your safe word when you're having fun? You know, for as long as it still feels good,
right,
you're not going
to
use it.
That's a good testament to your skills.
But you might say yellow when your foot's going to sleep.
Yeah, if you, right. Something
red, yellow, green.
Things do happen. I mean, yeah, something turns out to be
my job. My job as a submissive is not. It's not being a doormat. It is a verb. Submit is a verb, and so passivity is not welcome. So he says, Ernest says, discomfort should never distract from the torture. So if my foot's asleep, I'm all in my foot. I don't care what you're doing to my vulva.
Right.
So I need to say, sir,
right,
my foot.
Right.
Yes.
And the smart dominant will go, one moment, please.
Okay.
And he'll get it to go.
You fix that.
Right.
That's your job.
Yeah. And you go and you get back
but
to it.
But there's also okay. something there, you know, there is one thing I like to say is that if you know one of to know one of us is to know one of us. We're all different.
Right. That's true, too.
And I'm a particular kind of dominant that's, you know, I see other kinds around. There's a certain sort, and I'm unfortunately, I think they've been influenced by popular media, who believe that what they need to be is, you know, stern and mean.
Disapproving, withholding.
They have to be,
and not acting like they're having
yourself,
fun. No, that's not me. I've always got a big grin on my face, and I'm having a good time.
Do you think that people will be learning from, they could learn from Master of O? A lot of your reviews in the book are from women. Like, you've got some influential, Dita Von Teese, and Margaret Cho, Carol Queen.
Yep.
Do you think your book is more for women, men? You think everyone can learn from it?
Well, I'd like to think.
And then be enjoyed and turned on and hot and all that.
Sure.
Yes.
I'd like to think it does all that.
Pleasure.
Let me say that my intentions here were not educational.
Right.
I didn't want to write that book.
No,
that
but
book's
you still,
been written.
Right,
but
I'm not saying you can't. It's, yeah,
but
you
I think that
if you've
I think
never
you
seen the world.
I think what you can learn from reading this book is something about the people, something about the personalities who are drawn to this life. You'll learn a lot of technical stuff about what they do. I mean,
but I think that's what people want to know about the psychology. They're confused by it.
Well,
what
I like about this book is there's no naive person. There's no standing for the innocent.
No.
Right, so, which is different than the
original
Sopranos.
Did you watch Sopranos?
Yes.
The first episode, you're dropped into the world.
Exactly. Sinkers,
you're dropped into this world.
I love it. Okay, well, we've only got a few more minutes, so let's read an excerpt from Master of O.
Okay, this takes the beginning of the second chapter. O and Ray, Stephen and Ray are half-brothers. O is Ray's partner. For the evening, Ray has given O to Stephen, and O has accepted this challenge.
Okay.
He has left her to go change into a robe and expects to find her nude in the living room after he comes back. From the long bar of robes and dressing gowns, he continued today's theme with a heavy black silk Turnbull and Assert's wide quilted shawl lapels and matching cuffs piped in red. How many pairs of skull-embroidered velvet slippers could one man wear in a lifetime? Stephen's own extravagances made him cringe occasionally, but now is not the time for introspection. O was expecting him to be his bad self, what most women wanted from him. He lowered the lights and headed out into tonight's arena. As expected, he found O in the living room, displayed as precisely as all the artifacts he kept under glass. Stripped to her red-soled pumps, stay-ups, the long gloves she'd impulsively slipped back on, and the collar around her neck. O knelt on her high heels in the middle of the dragon rug. Her knees were wide apart, her hands still laced behind her head like the condemned, awaiting execution. Shoulders squared, breasts out, chin straight, eyes lowered. When Stephen stopped and stared, a slight tremor washed over her, though of course she didn't turn her head to look at him. She was the one there to be looked at. Stephen was perfectly rude about taking in the view, making her stand at attention, walking around her, looking high and low. Yes, there were surprises. O could have rouged her nipples a shade darker so the rings stood out more, but they were far from inconspicuous. Though only an inch and a half in diameter, they were wicked thick, agonizingly stretched from an initial 10-gauge to their current 6. Plain stainless with black hematite captive bead closings, they clearly wanted to be grabbed, weighted, tied, and made to hurt. Stephen took in the slender shoulders and spectacular natural teardrop breasts of the type for which women in this town paid vast sums and still didn't get. O's belly, flat and cut from fanatical exercise, her perfectly sculpted pink lower lips, the high, tight buttocks and the long, straight legs with slender ankles, all comprised a fine inventory, and both of them knew it. Stephen could see O's pulse thumping in her carotids. A droplet of sweat trickled in each armpit. He was quite certain she was dripping elsewhere, too. The tightening, throbbing bulge under his silk robe was just as apparent to the two of them. Stephen let her stay at attention as he plucked the half-joint from the ashtray and fired up with a big, giant lighter, inhaling a big hit. He approached O at leisure, his head wreathed in smoke. He seemed so accustomed to having whatever he wanted, absolutely devoid of shame or doubt, and she was alone with him at last. Nothing stood between him and what he wanted of her. He stopped in front of O's face, tracing her cheek with a fingertip. "I love this moment," he said quietly, "so full of promise."
I like it.
Well,
so everyone's got to read. Okay, you got to
get
checked
out. You got to go to masterofo.com.
MasterofO.com.
Buy yourself an ebook. And come the 1st of July, there will be a paperback version
on sale. Really? Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay,
print version,
I'm going to. Okay, got it. Okay, so Nina Hartley, plug. What's your website?
Nina.com. And you can follow me on Twitter.
Nina what.com?
Nina.com.
Just Nina?
Mm-hmm.
You got Nina.com. Mm-hmm. N-I-N-A.
Yep, 20 years ago.
Jesus, that was good.
She fought for it.
Well, the one good thing my exes did for me. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Nina Land, Disneyland only Nina Land.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you, Ernest Green. Thank you
yes.
so much for being on the show. I
Thanks
feel like we could go
me.
On. You guys got to come back, as always. You're always welcome on the show. Anderson, what up? Thanks for being with me tonight.
Yeah, of course.
I love night. You, mean it.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone, follow me, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, Sex with Emily. And thanks so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. Crazy Girl Products carries unique pheromone-infused products that scientifically make you hotter and feel more confident. I love their new After Dark line, especially their Lip Nip Tingle. To find out what that means, go to crazygirlproducts.com, use coupon code EMILY25, and get 25% off your purchase when you buy something at crazygirlproducts.com.
Perhaps play a little game called Just a Tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger, host of the Art of Charm podcast, the number one dating and relationship advice podcast in iTunes.
I'm Emily Morse, host of the Sex with Emily podcast, the number one sex and relationship podcast on iTunes and at sexwithemily.com. And this is just the tip.
You mentioned on another tip about mutual masturbation. What exactly is that? I think a lot of people are probably getting some interesting visuals here.
I love mutual masturbation because, first of all, masturbation is also a form of sex. But when you do it with a partner, it can be a great way to share intimacy and get some other sexual secrets. So if you're masturbating and she's masturbating next to you, you can see how she touches herself. Does she rub her clitoris in circles? Does she go up and down? Maybe she touches the outside of her clitoris. Maybe she uses her fingers or a vibrator. It's just a great way to learn how your partner touches himself so you can mimic some of those moves and know what turns them on. I think it's like, and it's fun, and it's hot to watch your partner masturbate. I think it's hot. A lot of women do, men do, watching each other. Why not?
What if it's a little awkward?
It can be awkward at first, maybe, or maybe you could help each other. Then she could watch you for a while, and then she could take over, and you could take over what she's doing, and you could both just have manually stimulated orgasms together.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
I mean, it might seem awkward to people, but you got to get through. You could also keep your eyes closed. It can be more comfortable to slip into your comfort zone. I know part of it is watching them, but you don't have to leave your eyes open the whole time. So just kind of get into your rhythm and your groove. And, you know, sometimes the awkward things are the things that, you know, make us the most, advance us sexually.
Sure.
So.
And it sure beats masturbating by yourself.
Exactly.
If you guys want to learn more from The Art of Charm about dating, relationships, and even networking for business, visit us at theartofcharmpodcast.com. Or check us out in iTunes and follow me on Twitter at The Art of Charm.
And check out the Sex with Emily podcast at sexwithemily.com and on iTunes if you want to have the best sex of your life, that is. Also, follow me on Twitter at Sex with Emily.
Buying a car can be such a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar actually helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay, and that fear is the worst. Last month, over 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a car, you just got to follow these three easy steps that if you want to save money. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information, and then you lock in your savings. Third step, totally simple. All you do is you print out your TrueCar savings certificate, and then you take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Who doesn't want that? Some features not available in all states, and every day TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Why would you do that? Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.